bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide. Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show
with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
We all need to do a better job. It's everybody.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Andrew, when Brady left, I said to Chris, welcome to the rest of us.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Coming up, Colts running back Zach Moss. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
What's going on, everybody? A happy Tuesday. With Week 5 officially now in the rearview mirror to you and yours, Rich joins us shortly. Zach Moss, as mentioned, the Colts running back. Another 100-yard game. Minutes after Jonathan Taylor gets paid. It is Zach Moss joining us in about an hour with Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo and TJ Jefferson here. As always, gentlemen, a happy Tuesday to you guys as well. As mentioned, none of us won the Powerball lottery. The Powerball, which is a tax on the poor and those who are bad at math. I admittedly bought five tickets and didn't win. But I'm happy to be here with you today.
It's worth it, man.
It's not really worth
it. It's actually very not worth
it. It's really not worth
it. I mean, the $5, you could have dropped that walking down the street. Just $5 is nothing to you, Andrew.
Well, it's $2 per ticket.
It's $2
so you couldn't
per ticket.
Five, so you had to do six.
And you spent $10.
Quite literally a tax on people who are bad at math. That said, I think I'm pretty good at math, but I still bought multiple tickets.
Yeah, because somebody's got to win.
Isn't that a tagline, I think, in some states?
Well, it's like Lotto.
Somebody's got to win.
Somebody's got to win.
It's
like Lotto. You got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. The Raiders won it last night. They won 17-13, despite, speaking of bad at math, Josh McDaniels' insistence on kicking a field goal with 2 minutes to go. And then they missed the field goal, obviously, setting up great field position for Jordan Love and maybe a chance to rewrite the script and pull a game out on the road. Alas, it did not happen, and the Raiders get a win. Max Crosby is awesome. Devontae Adams had a decent second half when they remembered that he played for the Raiders, and they are looking at 2-3 with the Patriots coming to town, and we are looking at live on your TV screen in his lovely hotel room, comfortable now and jet lag gone, getting ready for the Ravens and the Titans. Happy early evening to you, Rich Eisen.
How are you, gents? What's going on?
Rich, cheerio. What do you say, brother?
Hey, Rich. Whatever. From London. How are you?
Cheerio. We're doing well.
Yeah,
you have an English accent. It's like every time I'm hoping it starts to.
You're not going
to
be like Madonna. You're just going to start speaking at an accent, even though you're American.
Speaking tongues.
From Detroit.
No, I don't plan on doing that.
Okay.
Just yet. No, I don't plan on doing that just yet. By the way, no place to get Powerball tickets around here. No. Sorry about that.
Can we get you one?
It's all right. I could do math. Hey,
wow.
I have consumed the Monday night game.
Yeah.
I have taken it in, and I am I'm just going to give the Packers fans and the fan base of the Green Bay Packers the same message I gave you, Chris Brockman, all those years ago when your Hall of Fame quarterback left for the left the AFC East for the NFC South. Now the Packers Hall of Fame quarterback has left the NFC North for the AFC East. And I'll say the same thing to them, but welcome to the rest of us. That is basically it's not trolling. It's not doing anything like that. It's basically speaking facts. That you're going to have moments where you are used to seeing your quarterback lift his play or overcome some spotty play from everyone else, or overcome injuries. Aaron Jones can't stay healthy. Bakhtiari's on injured reserve, as we know. This is where Aaron Rodgers would step up and basically make lemonade or chicken salad, however you want to talk about it. And now you see a young quarterback who is struggling to get his footing on the road after a mini bye and 10 days off. Now you see what happens. Certainly when, you know, a team like the Raiders showed up defensively in a manner that clearly confused him. I know what you said, Andrew, moments ago about Max Crosby. Still, when the Condor's coming at you, you know, and is going to start pressuring you, you're going to start making mistakes. And so I'm not putting everything on Jordan Love here. What I'm saying is you're just going to go through the ups and downs of a young quarterback trying to figure out his way in the NFL. And sometimes you're going to end up getting three picks on the road. And that's what's going to do you in the long run of a very winnable game otherwise. And so that's the way I'm looking at the Green Bay Packers, who have a ton of flaws right now. And the Detroit Lions have got to be sitting back, looking around and saying, is this really happening? That the fact that we're playing as well as we're playing and the rest of the division is below 500 with not one but two one-win teams, is that really what's happening right now? Where the Green Bay Packers, we've already beaten them on the road. They're 2-3. We're 4-1. We just came up with a huge offensive outburst without Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs. We're playing like this. Yeah, that's the way the NFC North is looking. And I'm just real happy that I chose the Lions to win this division, because through 5 weeks, it looks like that's the way this thing is going.
Rich, you know who the Packers are? That they are, to quote Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. Like you said, a team in transition with a quarterback that's going to have a good day and a bad day, and a good day and a bad day. And they headed into the fourth quarter, week two, up 12 on the road in Atlanta. And you're like, this is a 2-0 team. All right. This team. Then they lost. Then they rallied back week three. And Jordan Love plays a fantastic fourth quarter after Derek Carr gets hurt at Lambeau, and they win. And you're like, all right, this team should be 3-0. Like, no, they're actually 2-1, and they are exactly where we thought they would be. They're going to be up, and they're going to be down. And it's kind of like, welcome to how the other half lives, as you said.
Look at the man across the way whose finger is on his cheek. That's not, these Packers are not who you thought they were, Christopher.
I thought they'd be much better. I thought Love looked really good in the preseason. He looked good the first couple weeks. I thought he would just steadily improve. But he took
and the
a step
defense
back.
Too.
Yeah, he took a step back last night. Aaron Jones being injured, obviously.
And Bakhtiari, and they finally got Jair Alexander back. Yeah, it hasn't gone very well for this team, and you've got to wonder if they can get everyone on offense healthy and start putting some points up. And having this defense play, confidently with a lead, is that something that they could do? A.J. Dillon, start rolling him downhill a little bit? I don't know what the answer is for Green Bay. The problem is that they're in a division with a 2023 elite team, the Detroit Lions. I'm sitting here because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. Also, Susie isn't come out here yet. She takes a flight after doing What the Football today with Michael Irvin and Amy Trask. So I'm actually starting to work on my power rankings right now. And I don't know how I keep the Detroit Lions out of the top five. And you have to take a look at how good they are and how good they're on the road and what they're doing to lesser opponents. They're eviscerating them. And that's the problem for the Packers. As for the Raiders, you know, I saw what you said to start the show, Andrew, and I would jump in to say that the Raiders are you know, primed for a run based on their schedule, based on the fact that they just won, based on the fact that they, you know, do have a terrific wide receiver running back combination. They've got a big time playmaker on the defensive line. When Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, we can only assume that this offense is going to get better. It's just the number of times that I've bought in on the Raiders over the last 2 years, I've been completely burned, and I might be a scarred guy at this point in time. And it's just so tough to call the New England Patriots a get-right game. It just, I don't know if I could bring myself to say that.
But
right
would
now.
Anything surprise us in that game? Like, because
no,
it's
nothing.
Like, if the Patriots win by 10, Brockman, I know you can't fathom a world in which they can score 10 points
that.
Against anyone.
Right.
But, like, it's Belichick and McDaniels. Like, nothing yeah. would surprise me.
No question about it. And the Raiders, you know, they're sitting at home. I get it, but it's a short week. I don't know. I mean, Belichick says that they're going to start things from scratch, which means I that would be a great way to even just throw, like, what would Josh McDaniels even be able to answer that question? I mean, I asked this of Kurt Warner when, you know, we were standing in front of Buckingham Palace about 2 hours ago shooting a segment for NFL Network. Like, what does starting from scratch mean? What does that mean, essentially? Like, starting over, what does that mean? I don't know. So is there a way for even Josh McDaniels to be left wondering what Belichick is going to be thinking? I know we're already turning a page towards week six right now, but that's the point. Is you take a look at the Raiders' schedule, and they have the Patriots coming in, and the Patriots have played terrible football over the last 2 weeks. And then you figure that they win that one, they're at 500 before taking a tour of the NFC North. They go visit the Bears, and I'll shrug emoji that one, guys. Honestly,
who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
who knows?
And then there are the aforementioned Lions before the Giants. Come for a visit, and then the Jets. You have got those New York teams, and they. I would have to say this, looking at that schedule, you've got to win the home games against so-called lesser opponents. You've got to win the game at Chicago if you're the Raiders and have the ability to do this. You've got to win the game against the Jets as well. So that's four wins right there. So that is, as you would say, set up for a nice run. So if let's say they go 4-1 in the next five, that would be a very nice record of 6-4 heading into the toughest part of this. I mean, look at those opponents that they are playing around Thanksgiving and after their bye. So they need to make hay in the next 5 weeks to make a run. And if they don't, and if they play down to some of their opponents, which is one way to say it, let's just say they go 2-3 in that stretch. They lose one of those home games. They lose at Detroit. They lose maybe at Chicago because the Bears might be who we think they were in the beginning of the season as an offense based on what we saw in Washington. I don't know. I still need to see a little bit more, and I need to see some consistency, and I need them to beat opponents that they should. And you could see on their schedule, the next five is chock full of those opponents right now. Those are my two cents on the Monday nighter.
I left watching the Raiders last night thinking to myself, like you, like, all right, look at the schedule here. They could get some wins. Yet, is this team even remotely good enough? Like we just did, like, I think they can win those games you just said, but I don't think they're a good team at all. Like, you can't just check off wins. And I feel like half the league's that way. It's like, yeah, they should be able to go on a little bit of run here, whoever they are. But, like, do we really feel confident enough outside of those top five, six teams, right? Of saying win for anyone.
You can't.
You can't.
That's why I need to see it. That's right. Why I need to see it. And but, you know, the alternative, as we know, them losing to the Packers, who we saw are a team that's going to fight to be 500 at this point, the way that they're playing. They lose to the Packers at home. You're 1-4. I mean, good Lord. The whole McDaniels hot seat conversation that may not exist because, you know, Mark Davis may not be thinking this way at all. The Raiders fan base still might want McDaniels' head on a, you know, pike outside of Excalibur.
Did you see by chance the Mark Davis reaction shot last night?
Yeah, when they didn't score on the goal line.
Yeah.
You know, I look, and so he's just a fan, I guess. And I don't know how you can view anything other than, you know, the Raiders are a frustrating bunch, but they came up with the win.
Yeah.
They had to have it. You know, they absolutely had to have it. And they got it. So at least, you know, you check that box. But some other items that I want to talk about with you guys, along with I've got my top five list. So maybe, you know, I'll do that after the break here. But I heard about what Jerry Jones had to say on the radio in the Metroplex today. And Mike McDaniel came up with my latest favorite soundbite from him that I don't think you guys have talked about yet. I kind of want to hit all that.
We have not. Which one shall we do here? It's 14 after the hour. You want to do Jerry Jones or you want to do the Dolphins? Pick
no, it's the, I don't mean to control things, but let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll have a nice runway.
I got a top five. Let's take a break here, Hoskins. let's take a break. We're watching the Rich Eisen show here.
Good day, bro.
Bro, after this.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Yes, the great Michael Irvin, resplendent in black leather, later today with Susie and with the great Amy Trask on What the Football. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Hi, I'm Andrew. We're at The Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Rich stops by, as he has been all week, here from London, getting ready for the Ravens and the Titans. The PFF grades, oh, by the way, for week number 5 have dropped. Lamar Jackson, speaking of drops, the highest rated player at any position week 5, according to the PFF folks. Where is Dak Prescott, you ask? Let me see.
Anybody ask that?
He is not on
nowhere to be found.
The list of the top 25.
Well, I got to tell you this. I just saw the latest Kurt Warner post of him breaking down tape. And I think, you know, at some point you can see some of the similar cabinetry that you see behind
yes.
me in my room. So he's somewhere in this hotel doing his all 22 work. So he just showed a remarkable video. I retweeted it that where Dak throws an interception on a double slant that is caused by the play call being on a tight part of the hash, that maybe they shouldn't have called that play because of how tight it is to run a double slant from the part of the field that they were on. And that the inside receiver runs the route at the same depth as the outside receiver, which means Dak gets zero read on the defense and just has to guess where to throw the ball. And those two items put together lead to a Dak Prescott interception. So now you can sit here and say this is excuse making. This is trying to come up with another reason to cape for Dak, which, you know, I like to do. All I'm saying is that it's not just on this guy. And I do believe that if you get the right playmakers and the right play calling and everyone gets in a groove together, that this team has the ability to make a deep playoff run with Dak Prescott at quarterback. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
Thank you. I went ahead and said that.
You asked for it.
But I paused just to hear who would say that. and Jerry Jones is saying the same thing. He is saying the same thing.
He's in denial. You
could sit there and say he's in denial, but the denial may be about the roster. may be about the roster. Honestly, who is scaring you other than 88?
Are we talking about the Patriots or the Cowboys?
Like, it's I'm talking about the Cowboys.
The Cowboys have so many more weapons than the Patriots.
But comparing Mac Jones's options to Dak Prescott's options.
To give up roster control. Hire a general manager.
The roster may be the issue here. Again, who scares you outside of 88 and maybe 20? But 20's just not the same guy. You know, and maybe I've got to sit here and take stock in myself too, TJ, because I've said to you, how many times did I turn to you, turn to my right and say to you, Pollard's got to get the ball more, more than Zeke.
You were his number one champion.
And now Zeke's gone. And where are you see more burst and big time plays from Breece Hall, Devin Achane before he got hurt, Zach Moss, right? Yeah. I mean, where's the big boom home run plays from him? That's exactly what they need. They need when they're on skates on defense and they're getting boat raced. And they're not putting points up on the board, you need Pollard to go 60 and just say, screw it. This is the end of that. I'm gone. And scheme them open or something seems to be off. But I believe Jerry Jones had something to say on this very subject matter and, earlier today.
Very, very disappointed, of course, because we do and can play better. Number one, one of the first things that I ask myself in any situation, can we do some things different than we did against the 49ers? Can we do it? Are we capable of doing it? Do we have the players? Do we have the systems in place? Should we have planned to do it, but in case we hadn't planned, can we do something different? The answer is yes. In my mind, make no mistake about it, we have a quarterback that can get us there. And so I feel very strongly there. We have coaching on both sides of the ball that can get us there.
You know, what was also interesting there, Rich, is that, and we didn't play that part, Jerry Jones was asked, and we're only now week six, would you consider asking Mike McCarthy to give play calling duties to Brian Schottenheimer?
Oh my gosh, already there.
And he said, nah. He shut that down. That is not a conversation he wanted to have. But remember, we spent the entire offseason, you said Texas Coast offense, right? That's what we're going to call this thing. The entire offseason talking about how this offense is going to be so different with Mike McCarthy. But here we are heading into week six, and Jerry's taking Brian Schottenheimer questions.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you get boat raced by the team that you definitely have to get past. And now you're going to clearly have to go to their house, too, if you do make the playoffs, unless the Cowboys get lucky. And when they come off of a wild card weekend win, they have to go somewhere else, and the Niners, presumably coming off of a bye, unless they lose to the Eagles, the Niners get knocked off in the divisional round and they don't have to go there. I mean, these are scenarios that I still think are in play. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. I think they might be in trouble as part of the Overreaction Monday segment that Chris and I did on our podcast yesterday. That I think they might even lose in Los Angeles to the Chargers and Kellen Moore, which would, I think, lend more fuel to the Brian Schottenheimer needs to call plays fire. But even then, at 500, there's still, you know, a ton of games left, 11 games to go. And the Cowboys can absolutely win seven of those if they can start playing explosively. The explosive plays like the one to Turpin, they don't happen enough when their defense is not balling out. So when their defense is steamrolling people, then Dak can, you know, pick and choose how he sees fit sometimes to throw the ball. And maybe the play calling is, as you saw from Kurt Warner, just look at the video again. And just know that it's difficult sometimes to play quarterback in this league in ways that we don't understand as just mere mortals. But I firmly believe Dak is, he's not the guy who throws 400 yards anymore. He's not the guy that's going to come up with, you know, five touchdowns in a game, three in the air, two in the ground, four in the air, one in the ground. Like, that guy's gone. So they need a running game to actually supplement a defense that can start boat racing people, to use that phrase again. I'm not ready to hit the panic button on the Dallas Cowboys just yet. That's all I need to say. But that was a measuring stick game, and they had the measuring stick hit him over the head on that front. There is an alarm bell, though, that's going off that I do want to hit on.
In Carolina?
Here. The one in Carolina, yes. You know, they're 0-5. And this soundbite from Frank Reich, this one hit me. I don't know if we've played this one yet on the show, but this one hit me that, you know, David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, is a guy who's hands-on. We just talked about a hands-on owner in Dallas, but he's got trophies in the case. We all know David Tepper's still relatively new to management and ownership in this league. And so Frank Reich had this to say about how much he's hearing from his boss still being winless heading into week six.
When you say David Tepper won't sit idly by, what does that mean exactly? I mean, is he getting more involved in some way? I mean,
no, I just think
asking for things to happen?
Well, listen, I don't want to speak too much for him, obviously. But, you know, there's different philosophies in ownership. You know what I mean? Some owners kind of stay away and don't engage a whole lot. Other owners do. And his philosophy is he's going to engage. And listen, it's only been a short experience, but it's been a really good experience. It hasn't been fun. You know, it's not fun. Those meetings aren't, I wouldn't characterize them as fun meetings. But those meetings make me better, and I trust they make us better.
Now, I don't know where to go with this one, because I love Frank Reich, and if I'm the owner of the Carolina Panthers, you know, and I've just made this big move for the first overall pick, would I be calling meetings with him? Or would I just let him be? You know, I don't know what sort of unhappy meetings and how they're not fun meetings, what that accomplishes with somebody who's Frank Reich. Certainly, when this stuff comes out, it lends credence to what's kind of an open secret in the league right now. And I don't know if this is, in fact, the case. And I don't usually traffic in this sort of stuff, but I'll throw it out because this is what you, quote unquote, hear. Is that they were sold on Stroud, and the owner wasn't. And the owner wanted Bryce Young.
Interesting. And it can't help that C.J. Stroud has yet to throw a pick, and he is lights out.
That's the whole point here.
Wow.
And so I'm just wondering, you know, if there's a hot seat there, they would be, I'll just say this, very foolish to one and done Frank Reich.
Well, what about, what if it's for Bill Belichick?
Dun, dun, dun.
Would you really, really, is that what you're, your, is that another open secret you're throwing there?
No, when Tom Kern
done Frank Reich for Bill Belichick.
When Tom Kern was on last hour, he was like, I said to Tom, I asked him, let's say Bill's not there next year. Do you think he'd coach somewhere else? And Tom goes, wow, let's get to the where should we put Bill Belichick in 24 part of the show. And Brockman over here goes, what if Brandon Staley crashes and burns this year? You got to... perfect situation. Bill's not young. You got Justin Herbert and Joey Bosa and Derwin James.
That sounds
I don't think Carolina would ever make any sense there at all. Never.
I don't.
You got Brian Burns and Bryce Young. And
this is crazy.
I know it is. Man. You know what they have in Carolina, though? And I had this conversation, Rich, with Frank Reich on NFL Network at the Combine. Uh-huh. There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen there. You got two former head coaches on his staff and Jim Caldwell. And Dom Capers. You have all these future head coaches on the staff. People think Thomas Brown's going to be a head coach.
There's tons of them. It's a great coaching staff, man.
Is going to be a head coach as well. One of these days, you have Josh McCown, who's a promising young assistant now, obviously just finally getting his feet wet there. Deuce Staley is there. And I asked Frank, that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And you kind of bowed up and pushed back against it. But I have heard that you go back to ownership. That was something that David Caldwell wanted, right? You're going to bring in Frank Reich, but let's get a lot of big brains in here to make sure we get this right. Not saying that's the reason they're not winning, but
let me ask you this question. Would you guys be an owner that has meetings with your coach?
Every week?
Yeah. I think there's got to be a middle ground.
Yeah. No, not
there's a difference between hands off and meddling. I'd be in the middle, but no, I would not do meetings every week.
And you know, like, again, because fantasy football, you know, you take a look at the Jones family. They run the Cowboys like you run your fantasy team.
Yeah.
Which is I'm in charge. I draft the players. I pick the roster. I make the decisions on game day. Let's go. You know, and they're still waiting on another trophy. And I just don't know if I'd be that type of owner with Frank Reich. You've made the decision. Certainly if I'm the one who made the decision to say, I'm putting my thumb on the scale, I want the kid from Alabama over the kid from Ohio State. But that's the whole, you know, and when you hear these conversations being had, you know, I don't know who's putting it out there. I don't know who's saying that sort of stuff from Carolina, but there's already some fingers being pointed right now. And I feel for Frank Reich. Like Frank knows he's got a really talented kid right there, and they haven't computed yet. And to see CJ Stroud look the way that he's looked, I guess at least for their benefit, Anthony Richardson can't stay healthy. So I don't know. I would just counsel the Panthers to let Frank Reich do his thing. You hired him to do his thing. And certainly if you hired him and made the decision at quarterback that potentially he wasn't thoroughly sold on, then I don't know what it accomplishes to do, you know, the nonstop meeting thing once a week. And the coach is like, I'll tell you, it's not fun, you know, not going to sit idly by. I mean, that's a great follow-up question. What does that mean? You're going to get fired? Carolina's schedule does not look good. Well, I mean, they got Miami coming up this week. That is a problem.
Well, the thought of giving the number one pick to the Bears, too, like the number one overall pick, if they were to get that, the thought of giving that to the Bears, it is a long, long season. But like everyone asks, well, what do you do with Justin Fields if you have the number one pick? Well, it depends whose number one pick it is. If it's your number one pick, then obviously there's a problem here and you likely move on from Justin Fields. But if Justin Fields played well and it's Carolina's number one pick, then that's a different conversation. And the idea that if you're David Tepper now, you're thinking, I mean, everything was looking up here. And it's only a month, but Bryce Young has yet to show a lot of an it factor, but they can't stretch the field. I mean, Adam Thielen's your number one. What's his name? Terrence Marshall, not Terrence, Terrace, now says, I don't know why I didn't play this week. I don't know if you caught that. Jonathan Mingo took all his snaps.
Look, the latest Chuba Hubbard's
taking more snaps than Miles
came
Sanders.
Out, Rich. David Tepper, $20.6 billion. He don't care. He'll fire anybody. He'll just pay him out.
That's true.
I guess
not playing the Powerball. Rich, you want to do your top five here?
Sure. Let's do it,
kids.
Let's hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
Yes, indeed. I've got my top five performances of week number five. And you know what? I'm going to start with this guy because, you know, I know I've said his quarterback is the most valuable player in the National Football League through 5 weeks. And I know Brock Purdy had a terrific performance, but the word performance is what jumps out at me right here. When you score three touchdowns and then you lift up your shirt that has a certain message for the town that has sent the visiting team into your building that you're scoring all these touchdowns against, that's what we call a performance. And this guy is a performer of the A++ variety. George Kittle gives us a little bit of sizzle and a little bit of energy to start our list right here. George Kittle, is number five. Look at those numbers at the bottom of your screen. He had a three-piece chicken tendy, as he likes to say, on Sunday Night Football. And, yeah, three touchdowns and one eye-popping shirt. That is a performer of the first variety right there. Number five on that list right here. Number four on the list for me here on my top five performances for week number five. I'm going with a couple of Halls. They're not related, and their first names sound the same. But I'm going Breece and Bryce Hall. I'm going with the New York Jet combination of the running back who torched the Denver Broncos defense, and then Bryce Hall, who scooped and scored a loose ball knocked loose by a Jets defense led at times by Bryce Hall and by Bryce Huff and by, you know, Quinnen Williams and by Quincy Williams. That team balled out in that second half and bailed out in a way Zach Wilson for a lot of his red zone mistakes, including not having a field goal. Bryce Hall, what a remarkable return to the spot where he blew out his knee last year with 177 yards and that touchdown on 22 carries. Those are standout performances, number four on the list. Number three on the list, it's kind of crazy that I've reached the point where Tyreek Hill comes up with 181 yards receiving, and I'm like, okay. That's basically what the cheetah does. Honestly, it is. So I'm going to put the kid who just went on the, not the injured list, but he's injured now. And maybe this is the last time I'm going to say for at least a month, Devin Achane. I mean, 11 rushes, 151 yards and a score. First guy ever with seven touchdowns in the first four games of his career. What a bummer that he hurt his knee in this game against the Giants, and he's going to be out for a few weeks. I can't wait to see him come back on the field. I do hope he's back, certainly in time for the Frankfurt game against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just, you know, that's there's an eye on Rich and Eisen on that one. I want to see everybody out there healthy for that big game. But what a performance by Devin Achane right there, number three on the list right here. Number two on the list for me in this this week, I mean, he was terrific. You can put it up on the screen. You don't have to help me set it up. I'll just get to right to it. This performance by Zach Moss from the Indianapolis Colts, 23 rushes, 165 yards, and two touchdowns on the day that Jonathan Taylor is back, and not just back, but pizzayed. I thought this was going to be a Jonathan Taylor show, and I thought this is still going to be the Jonathan Taylor show, but Zach Moss is raising his hand and saying, hey, everybody, I'm having a breakout year.
Hey, everybody.
How are you going to bench me? 23 rushes, 165 yards, and maybe, just maybe, Shane Steichen bringing the run scheme from Philadelphia is showing how you can run behind this line and this scheme, and let's go. I mean, Gardner Minshew knows how to run that offense. This looks very Philadelphia, these numbers. So Zach Moss, I'll put that right there, number two. And then number one, his numbers. To say that you're always effing open and then come up with 15 catches is truly walking the walk, catching the catch, talking the talk, whatever you want to say. That Ja'Marr Chase performance just when the Cincinnati Bengals needed it. That. 192 yards, three touchdowns, 15 catches after you say, I'm always effing open. That is what we call a top performer for week number five. Ja'Marr Chase leads that one. All right.
All right, we'll get one more.
Let's do it. I'll do it. I'll say it because I saw it and I called it. Travis Etienne for the Jacksonville Jaguars was superb. He was a big time difference maker. He was bouncing it outside. He was having trouble all day long running it up the middle, and they kept on trying it and they kept on trying it. And then ETN comes up with 26 rushes, 136 yards, and two scores, including the eventual icer by bouncing it outside. And this Buffalo Bills defensive line that came in banged up got even more banged up. You could see that Doug Peterson felt, I can lean on this team, lean on that defensive line at the end of the game. And ETN came up with one of his best performances of his career. And the Jacksonville Jaguar is my one more for my top performers for week number 5.
He is magnifique, that Travis Etienne. And those are the amazing top 5 included in there. A ho-hum, Tyreek Hill, 181.
Yeah.
A you know what I mean? Like just,
yeah, cool.
Whatever.
Am I wrong?
No.
Are we just now used to it?
You're totally
in the
right.
Same way.
It's the same way
that Phil Jackson was never coach of the year and Bill Belichick never coach of the year. It's just like, yeah, we kind of expect it. 181 yards. Yeah.
They won 70 games.
That's right.
Big deal. 70 games. No big deal. Anyway, Rich, we have breaking news. We have an NFL trade, which we will tell you about.
Yes.
When we come back.
And I will stay off the phone. I will not see. It'll be an unvarnished opinion.
We have a trade. Who got traded? And to where? And why? Next, you won't believe it. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show. Rich is in London. I'm Andrew. TJ is here. Del Tufo is laughing. Brockman is still a Patriot fan. And Rich is in London. And I teased that there is a trade, Rich. I honestly thought that this trade would be to Carolina because we listed the coaches there. Sean Jefferson is a coach, the wide receiver coach for the Panthers. But Van Jefferson, his son, a former second-round pick of the Rams, who has... since kind of fallen out of the rotation there, was only on the field for 2 offensive snaps this past Sunday because Cooper Kupp is back and because Luka Doncic is doing his thing. Van Jefferson has been dealt to the Atlanta Falcons from the Rams for the pick swap thing, like what they did with Cam Akers and what happened last week as well with Chase Claypool. It is a 2025 pick swap, according to Ian Rappaport, who broke the news before anybody. 6th and 7th rounders. I think Van can play. He's had some untimely drops the last couple of seasons and obviously had trouble staying healthy last year. The first half of the season coming back from surgery.
Did you call his last game at the Rams? Did you call a quarter of his last game?
Rams? But he didn't really get on the field. So, yes, I was in the building for Van Jefferson's performance.
Zero catches.
We had the same amount of receptions. Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, look, that's the Rams doing a solid by this kid to get him to a spot where he might get more reps. And this just shows you how Luka Doncic, Luka Brasi, is just crushing it. And him and Cooper Kupp together are dynamite. And that was part of our Overreaction Monday podcast conversation was who are the best who's the best receiving tandem in the NFL. You got to put those guys up there. You know, it's kind of crazy while we're just on the subject of a trade in the few minutes we have left here in this hour is how with Justin Jefferson going down for 4 weeks and the Vikings at 1-4, okay, and how 2 weeks ago, if you had said to me this would be the scenario for a Vikings team at 1-4 without Justin Jefferson for a month leading into the trade deadline, that this would be the scenario that I would have dreamt for because Zach Wilson wasn't playing very well. And I've seen the last 2 weeks from Zach Wilson, and I'm kind of leaning towards I don't think the Jets should go get Kirk Cousins.
Wait a minute. You would take Zach Wilson right now over Kirk Cousins for whatever. I wouldn't give up a one.
It's not like straight up that I think Zach's better than Kirk Cousins. Clearly, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the draft capital that the Vikings would hold the Jets up for and the fact that there are, you know, signs of life from Zach and the fact that it would take some time for Kirk Cousins to get up to speed.
No, it wouldn't.
Yes, it would. You'd have to come up with a different offensive scheme, Andrew. You know the way this works. You don't just plug and play.
He's a smart guy.
I know, but you could put it. Just still takes time. It still takes time, and then you're also signaling to the guy who's staring at Dolphins, you know, that this rehab that you're on right now, this hardcore rehab that you're on right now, thinking you're going to set records thanks to his fortitude and modern medicine to come back this year. You're telling him we've got this year covered. Just come back for next year. Like, that's, I just don't think that's in the cards for the Jets right now. And I think them riding with Zach is the best way to go. And I can't believe I'm saying
okay,
these things.
Okay, at what price could I change your mind? What if it were a 3?
I don't even know. I doubt that would be it. I doubt it would be it. Come on.
But if you're the Vikings, and I don't know if
you're tapping out. You're tapping out on your fan base. You're tapping out on your team. You're tapping out on Justin Jefferson.
Okay, but you know? Schefter rolled it out there this morning. Hey, you have to wonder when and if Justin Jefferson will come back as the Vikings continue to lose.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the way. It might be an extended absence. So right, what if Justin Jefferson says, I'm good?
Right, and Kirk Cousins says, I'd like out too.
So take what you can get.
I know, and then they're staring at Caleb Williams. I just don't know if the Jets would go for that right now. I just don't know. And, you know, they've got a bye week coming up after taking on the Eagles. I'm just kind of suddenly rethinking myself about this right now.
Next Monday, if Zach Wilson throws 3 picks against the Eagles, I'm not rooting for bad things. I'm not rooting for bad things. I don't want to bring you pain. It's a long flight home. You're going to call a great game. You're going to be happy on the way home. The Eagles the Jets are going to win. I don't think that. But in our final 25 seconds here, I'm just saying.
Exactly.
That's what they'll say.
We know where he is. He's rehabbing, making sure his speed bridge gets him back. And if the Jets go for Kirk Cousins out of nowhere, you know, that might not be the plan. This is all I'm saying, which is crazy. I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago.
We're saying Rich is in London. Kurt Warner and Rich will join us next hour as well. And Zach Moss, Indianapolis Colts, who made your top 5. He sits to join us in about 10 minutes. As we're still on the Roku here, I really do think that if the Vikings keep losing, then the price, I mean, it has to, right? The price tag for Kirk Cousins goes down, but you got to find a taker. Like, if it isn't the Jets, that's the fun game here. If it isn't the Jets, and I see, joking aside, your logic makes sense here. If it isn't the Jets, then who would it be?
Somebody who needs a quarterback.
You can't predict injuries.
Somebody who desperately needs a quarterback because of injuries, so. What, you want the Patriots to do it, Chris? That's nutty. That's cuckoo.
I got your answer.
What is it?
Okay. If Deshaun Watson's shoulder is really that bad.
Yeah, sure. No, I got you. That's a good one.
If it's really that bad. Now, you'd have to pay $100 million in cash, in essence, for your quarterbacks this year.
No, whatever.
In essence.
I mean, you only have to pay half of Kirk. So that's not a bad one. That's a good one, Andrew. So I'm going to take to the streets.
Oh,
Kurt and I are heading out. So I think I'm going to attempt to zoom in from the streets of London.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mobile Rich.
Yeah.
Mobile Rich.
What do you think?
Awesome.
Fan interviews?
Yeah.
I know. I know you're going to miss the artwork.
Yeah.
So
take that. Can I have that for my condo?
Did you get turned down service? And part of this is that's what I want to do too. You've got me, TJ. I want the turn down service, so I'm out of here.
The mint. Rich, okay. Okay. Give me that mint. Make sure you take the mint on the street.
I want the mint.
5, 4, 3. Tell Kurt we said hi. Walk safely.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other 3 Final Four teams, if you're asking me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.